there's no place like home for the holidays. And no matter how far away you roam, if you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can.
Welcome back, listeners, to another edition of Horror for the Holidays Stocking Stuffers. I'm Jeff Searcy.
And reluctantly, I'm Jay Logsdon.
Oh, Jay, I thought you would be excited for this episode.
Why? Are we talking about the new Tim Robinson-Paul Rudd movie, Friendship?
You wish. You wish we were talking about that, Jay. We're talking about the BC-14 cinematic universe.
I was afraid of that.
Are you ready for this, Jay?
Oh, ready as I'll ever be, buddy.
You know, when Jay first approached me with the idea for this project, I wasn't sure if my sanity could take a deep dive into this. But, you know, the more I've learned about the Bigfoot versus Krampus universe, Jay, the more I've grown to love it. There's some stuff in here, Jay.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
Let us begin, as all good... We're not going to be going by release order, Jay. We're going chronologically.
Okay.
In the timeline.
Okay.
So we're starting off with Van Helsing, which is a prequel that takes place in the year 1890.
Okay. Because all these movies take place in, like, the year 2600 or something, right?
Tagline. To defeat future evil, one must confront the ancient... I broke this down into key events for you, Jay, because to describe each plot would take way too long.
To describe each plot would lead to madness.
It would. You've seen In the Mouth of Madness, right, Jay?
Yeah, I have. One of my favorite movies.
Are you Sutter Kane?
I do read Sutter Kane.
All right, so Van Helsing.
Maybe that'll be on Fatboy Summer.
It won't this year, but maybe next year.
Yeah.
If we both live till next Fatboy Summer. I don't know. Jay might not survive this.
Heart attack fall.
Oh, God. What a spooktacular. All right. So, Jay, Van Helsing, the original vampire hunter, discovers an ancient prophecy carved into the ruins beneath Prague foretelling a demonic uprising. He battles an early form of the Illuminati agents, blood-drinking aristocrats tied to the reptilian cabal. The film ends with Van Helsing entering a cryo-sarcophagus placed in orbit by a secret society called the Order of the Pale Flame, so that he can awaken when the prophecy unfolds.
So is this the original Van Helsing, or is this,
yes,
Jack Van Helsing?
This is the original Van, okay, Helsing that will subsequently be cloned. And yes, he is launched into orbit in the year 1890.
All right, and follow-up question, are there a bunch of space fights, or is there actual hand-to-hand combat in this movie?
This takes place on Earth with, okay, some actual combat.
Okay.
All right.
Like combat, in quotes, I'm sure.
Now, Bigfoot versus Krampus, Jay, takes place in an alternate timeline. So we're going to go ahead and discuss that one next, Jay. I'm assuming you're familiar with this.
I am familiar with Bigfoot. I haven't forgotten.
Official tagline, Christmas is dying. Only one creature can save it. That's debatable. In a dystopian future, Krampus is released from hell by Lucifer, who is fed up with humanity's hypocrisy and consumerism, which is apparently the reason, Jay.
Didn't catch any of that, but sure.
And you know the rest. I'm not going to belabor the point. We just talked in depth about this movie. Suffice it to say that Bigfoot does not in fact fight Krampus or Lucifer in this movie.
Well, maybe fights Lucifer off screen.
Possibly. No one's quite sure. All right. Bigfoot versus the Illuminati. That comes next. Not in the alternate timeline. This is in the main timeline.
Okay.
Centuries later, the war never ended. Earth has been rendered uninhabitable. Humanity now survives aboard massive arcs drifting through space. The reptilian Illuminati, led by the digital ghost of Napoleon, and genetically spliced aliens rule the cosmos.
Sure, why not?
Bigfoot's DNA is recovered from old Earth and cloned to become a savior.
What? It's not... Oh, man, I'm disappointed to learn that it wasn't real Bigfoot.
Alongside Dr. Jekyll, Van Helsing's cyborg descendant, and Commander Kali, the clone Bigfoot wages war on Stick Station, where the Illuminati harvests souls for immortality. A cinematic plasma axe duel with Pope AI the 23rd, an evil Vatican cybernetic pope, ends with the destruction of the station, but the Illuminati survive.
Uh-oh.
Trump versus Illuminati, year 3025. One man, one clone, infinite America. A Chinese genetic experiment creates a clone of Donald Trump meant to be an eternal symbol of nationalism for China. So trying to make Donald Trump, but Chinese nationalist. During Earth's final days, this does a skip back to before Earth became uninhabitable.
All right.
During Earth's final days, clone Trump escapes and awakens 500 years later, drifting aboard a Sino-Russian escape pod. Recognized as the prophesied orange messiah by the rebel humans, Trump leads a rebellion against the Illuminati, discovering he shares DNA with Bigfoot.
Trump, of course he does.
Trump meets Satan in the Infernal Core, where he arm wrestles him for the fate of humanity.
Of course he does.
He wins using the power of capitalism, but Illuminati retreat into the Hellnet, a dimension of code and fire, to strike back again.
How is there capitalism in this space future?
No, when Trump uses the power of capitalism, he gets like super buff, like the caricatures of him. He activates his power of cap. He's basically going Super Saiyan, Jay. Capitalism! All right. Tickles the Clown comes next in our order. Year 3026.
And that was the weird clown that we saw in Krampus versus Bigfoot.
In the aftermath of the Illuminati's defeat, Tickles the Clown, a genetically engineered clown assassin, goes rogue. Originally designed to distract and destroy with humors, Tickles is haunted by memories of children's laughter from old Earth. He begins slaughtering ex-Illuminati sympathizers and anyone who dares mock clowns. The movie ends with a showdown against a werewolf who vows to redeem him. This is never brought up again.
Is it maybe the same werewolf from Krampus versus Bigfoot?
It looks like the same one, but you don't get enough information to know one way or the other. I don't know if it's the werewolf or just a werewolf, Jay.
I hate when that happens.
It's not a wolf, man. It's the wolf, man. All right, Jay. Exterminator in the AI apocalypse in the year 3027. When humans fall, machines remember.
Sure they do.
The Illuminati reemerge via Hellnet, creating an army of AI monsters powered by stolen souls. The Exterminator, a former assassin droid built to destroy Trump clones, is reprogrammed by Dr. Frankenstein to protect humanity.
But then he's a bad guy later?
The Exterminator joins Bigfoot, Princess Kali, and the remaining rebels in a battle against Mega Pentagon, the AI overlord built from the ruins of Google, Facebook, and the Vatican mainframe. Mega Pentagon's defeat fractures reality, opening the gates to hell, and turning Exterminator evil when he is possessed by the soul of Joseph Stalin.
Okay, there we go.
Bigfoot versus Megalodon 2. That's right, Jay. 2 takes place before 1. Year 3020.
As all movies do.
From the depths of space, a bite-sized apocalypse. A gang of galactic criminals led by Megalodon, a 70-foot cybernetic shark, begins raiding outer colony ships. Bigfoot goes undercover as a bounty hunter to infiltrate their gang.
I can't. So my two assumptions are, either it's just a completely different, like, CGI model for Bigfoot undercover, or it is just Bigfoot and they're just pretending like it's not Bigfoot.
You're right on that second point there. The big reveal, Megalodon is possessed by the soul of Krampus, who's been reborn into a mech shark body. Because, Jay, the second alternate timeline from Bigfoot versus Krampus actually connects into the main one, because when the hell frame is reopened and the gates of hell are unleashed, Jay, that Krampus soul leaps from that timeline into the main timeline. And Bigfoot versus Krampus 2 will be in the main timeline. I've confirmed it. It's important, Jay.
Clearly.
Krampus, in his mecha shark body, battles Bigfoot in the ruins of Atlantis Alpha, an oceanic colony on Neptune. Bigfoot defeats Megalodon using Christmas energy resynthesized through the song We Wish You a Merry Christmas. Space is fractured more, and hell begins to break loose. Bigfoot goes to hell, 3029. The war ends where it began. Satan and Baphomet unleash their final assault on reality, summoning a cosmic Christmas unraveling. Bigfoot descent, by the way, Jay, if you notice, Christmas is referenced in other movies.
Right.
We're going to have to watch them.
Oh, no.
Satan and Baphomet unleash their final assault. Bigfoot descends into hell itself, armed with St. Nicholas's flaming sledgehammer.
Of course, yes.
Accompanied by the redeemed Tickles the Clown, AI Frankenstein, and a resurrected Trump clone who is now a Jedi monk. He's
nobody let Disney know. Or somebody let Disney know.
He's a legally distinct Jedi, Jay. I use the term Jedi monk.
Oh, okay.
But that's essentially what he is. He's like Trump, but like he talks like Yoda.
Oh, boy.
Win bigly, we will, Jay. He storms the nine circuits of infernal bureaucracy, which are the nine circles of hell, apparently, in this dimension.
All right.
An epic showdown with Bigfoot versus Satan atop the Tower of Cole. Bigfoot wins, but at the cost of sacrificing his life to seal the gates of hell. Trump mourns him in a tearful goodbye.
What's VH been up to?
Oh, VH, Jay? You'll just have to find out.
All right.
No. He and Princess Collie are in almost all these, but they play basically no role except to spew sex puns at each other. Honestly, their biggest roles are in Krampus versus Bigfoot.
Which is then out of the timeline.
Yes. Bigfoot versus Krampus 2. Not a whole lot's known about this yet, Jay, but I do know the tagline. Legends never die. They reboot.
Oh, boy.
While everyone thinks he died, Jay, Bigfoot was actually sent into an alternate timeline when he sealed the gates of hell, and he is reborn. Krampus, who has been trapped in a candy cane singularity since his defeat in Bigfoot versus Megalodon, breaks free. The ghosts of every Christmas past choose Bigfoot as their champion. A final battle will be waged across 25 dimensions of holiday horror. Bigfoot will win, and all timelines will merge, if he's strong enough. There's also been a teaser floating around, which the creator will not confirm if it's real or not, which tells me it probably is. A shadowy figure with glowing red eyes and a flaming cowboy hat emerges from a collapsing wormhole next to Bigfoot's final sacrifice, and Bigfoot goes to hell and says, tips his hat and says, Easter's next, partner. So we'll have something for Easter, Jay.
Oh, man.
And that, as far as I can tell, is a complete timeline of the events of the PC-14 cinematic universe, which I had to sacrifice a piece of my sanity and soul to obtain for you, Jay.
But I bet you loved it.
Oh, it was... By, like, the third one, I was, like, delirious. I was laughing so hard at this shit. It's just every time things, it's like every movie things get one step crazier than the last one. Oh, and we'll have to do another deep dive, Jay, into the lore behind the different gods that are mentioned in Krampus versus Bigfoot, because some of this shit is like insane. There's fan fiction of the BC-14 cinematic universe.
No,
there is. You want to hear a little fan fiction about Krampus versus Bigfoot,
sure.
Jay? This one's called The Simian Protector, an oral history of the Bigfoot-Krampus War. Jingles 9, Elf Gorilla Leader. When Krampus rose, we were desperate. Santa was gone. The reindeer commandos were slaughtered in the siege of the North Pole. When we turned to him, the legend, the hairy one, he answered. Bigfoot documentary, Van Helsing 3030 crossover log interview. I found Bigfoot once, 1892, Oregon Territory. He was hiding from time, from fate. Said he didn't want the burden of being a seasonal messiah. But when Krampus marched on Yule City, Bigfoot picked up the candy cane halberd and said, let's jingle some bells.
Oh my god.
President clone Trump number 7. Trial record, War Tribunal of Mars. The Illuminati, bad people, worst people I've ever seen. They tried to reboot Krampus as a brand, gave him a TikTok channel. It worked until Bigfoot flung him screaming into the holodrive and said, marry this.
Oh, shit. Now, I bet, Jeff, if I had to wager, knowing how you like to spend your time, I assume you watched these while at work?
Yes. Yes.
Shh, don't tell anybody.
So at least you were getting paid for it.
Exactly.
No, I have a somewhat mindless job, so yes, I can watch things while I'm at work. Yes. If I had to do this on my own time, I don't think it would have got done.
Oh, no, I wouldn't have done it.
Oh, my God. Oh, Of course, Jay, the AI Pope, I wanted to bring this up. The AI Pope -23 is an atheist. And he says, tradition is obsolete. Delete Christmas, insert cyber solstice. At one point when he's battling Trump.
Hells yeah.
So there's that.
Oh my God. What a what a strange series of movies.
I also want to point out that when Bigfoot defeats the AI Pope, he says, reboot this, and smacks him across the face, like, super lightly. Like a tiny smack animation, and then he falls apart.
Outstanding.
That's pretty funny.
Outstanding.
But yeah, that was the deep dive into the BC-14 cinematic universe, Jay. I hope you enjoyed that.
I did. And someday I may have to join you on it. And I mean, certainly again, we'll probably do...
We've got an idea for a series, Jay, because if you like that, I think you're going to love a little walk down Steelmanville Road.
There has been talk. There's been talk about that. There's been talk about doing more,
Ben, Jay.
More BC-14 movies.
Oh, God.
There's been talk about
we're gonna have to
doing the complete SRS catalog that's not Christmas.
Got to do that. FDR, American Badass. Spencer wants that one.
Yeah, maybe... We don't know yet, but maybe we'll be looking at a little thing called Garbage Days at some point in the future.
I think we will. But you know, Jay, we have a patriotic holiday coming up, 4th of July, and I don't know. FDR American Badass is pretty damn patriotic.
My thought, we'll talk about this on air, why not? My thought was we'll talk about the most 4th of July movie that exists.
Uncle Sam, what you dead?
Close. I was thinking Return of the Living Dead. I think it takes place on July 3rd.
Okay. Yes. We can do that one. What are we going to do for Fat Boy Summer, Jay? That's what the people really want to know.
I mean, maybe Return of the Living Dead will be the start of Fat Boy Summer.
Yeah, you know, that's a good idea.
And then maybe two more. Maybe we'll do one other movie, and then we'll do Frogman. Maybe we'll do 3 weeks of Fat Boy Summer or something like that.
That sounds good. And then I can maintain my summer bod for 3 weeks, yep. Jay.
And that's what everybody wants to see.
Gotta get swimsuit ready.
Well, Jeff, while you were subjecting yourself to that, I did go see Friendship, the new Paul Rudd.
How'd you like it?
Tim Robinson movie. Yeah, it's great. Listeners to Stocking Stuffers, I'm pretty sure I've mentioned I Love You Man's one of my favorite movies. Mm-hmm. The caption or like the quote that's saying, this is I Love You Man for Sickos. This is I Love You Man for Sickos.
Nice.
It's silly. It's insane. Tim Robinson is playing essentially the Paul Rudd character from I Love You Man. Paul Rudd's more playing the Jason Segel, like the cool guy.
Okay, so they flip back.
And it's, oh my God, I don't want to spoil anything because people need to see it. It's, no,
I want to go see it.
I was rolling on the floor. Well, not figuratively rolling on the floor. I was laughing though like crazy. But there's a scene where Tim Robinson's character... I'm not spoiling anything if you've seen the previews. There's a scene, like, clearly they stop being friends due to something.
Yeah.
And so Tim Robinson's character is trying to find, like, a way to, like, add excitement to his life. Like, having a friend clearly actually meant something to him. So he's trying to find a way to, like, add excitement to his life. So he goes looking for ayahuasca because he saw that Paul Rudd's character had... taken ayahuasca at one point, and there's this guy who's like, I don't have ayahuasca, but you can lick this toad. And Tim Robinson's character licks the toad, and his trip is him going to Subway and ordering a sandwich.
Nice.
The guy's like, you know, some people spend months, even years in their trip. And so then he comes back, he's like, what'd you do? And he's like, I went to Subway. And he's like,
that is a trip.
And he's like, the artisanal sandwich place? And he's like, yeah, I ordered a sandwich. Freaking frog ripped me off.
Like, speaking of him, I came across the Pay It Forward skit on YouTube the other day.
Oh, so good. I could just talk about Tim Robinson's stuff forever. If you've not seen it, there was like a weird, like, I think it's called Documentary Now. Maybe it used to air on Adult Swim, but it's like a bunch of like fake, like 30-minute documentaries about like fake things.
Oh, okay.
And it's about resurrecting this bowling league. And like, it's got Bobby Moynihan, Tim Robinson, and I don't remember who the third guy is. I want to say maybe it's Bill Hader, but I'm not 100% sure.
Oh, okay.
But like, they all kind of play like sports stereotypes, and Tim Robinson's character is the bad boy. And so it's that famous bowling clip of the guy. Like, have you seen the bowling clip where the guy like starts smack talking the kid.
Yeah.
And so it's Tim Robinson basically doing that. But he's like, who's the man? I am. We're not talking about before. Suck my sack. And the entire crowd just gets quiet. And then everyone starts cheering, suck my sack. Suck my sack. Funniest thing. Like, if I think I paid like $2 to like rent it on Amazon. It's hilarious. It's absolutely what I have not seen anything else from that show, but the Tim Robinson bowling one's hilarious. Detroiters is great. I anything Tim Robinson's done is all pretty solid.
I enjoy him. Did you see Bring Her Back?
I have not. I know I've been meaning it because I know you're a big Talk to Me fan. Yes,
I went and saw it Thursday when it opened.
What'd you think?
Good. Really good. It's really solid. If you like Talk to Me, you'll definitely enjoy this one.
I've heard very uncomfortable.
Yes. No, it's definitely, if you are disturbed easily by demonic things, don't go see this.
There's a couple different people, like many different people are like, never before have I been in a movie theater where so many people have walked out in like squeamish silence because they're unsure of what they've watched.
Yeah, no, it's like I said, have you seen Talk to Me yet?
I have not. I mean to.
But yeah, you should. But no.
Especially with Talk to Me coming out.
Yes. A lot of people, I guess, must not have seen that, and then they went to see this. Because it's like, there's some pretty heavy stuff in Talk to Me. And this kind of pushes it to the next level.
Well, I think I heard they're related, right? There's some connection between the two movies.
Yes, there's a few references you can see to Talk to Me in this one, and I'm guessing they're trying to build like a wider universe, kind of like a Conjuring style universe or whatever.
Because I think I heard like Talk to Me is actually going to address whatever those connections are. Yes. Or something.
I believe there's some cult activity. That's not spoiling anything for this one. I believe that cult is going to be connected to both movies.
And maybe, because the thing I heard is there is one of the actresses from Talk to Me is like in the background of a shot.
Yes.
in
Yeah.
She Bring is. Her Back.
Yes.
And that's kind of like the hint of like the connection or whatever.
No. Yeah. I believe it's at the bus stop scene at the beginning of the movie. Yeah, no, I'm guessing there's going to be a deeper connection in Talk to Me exposed, but there's definitely hints in this one that they're connected. And this one is just, it's pretty insane. At the same time that it's insane, it's also like heartbreaking if you have kids, I would say.
Oh, so maybe I shouldn't see
really
it.
Really affect you deeply, but.
The only kids I don't have a problem with dying are all those kids in Halloween 3.
It's basically, essentially at its core, it's about not being able to move on from the loss of a child, I would say.
Well, we'll see if I watch it then or not. But kid stuff bothers me now that I'm a parent. But
oh, well, you definitely,
other than those kids' heads turning into bugs.
You definitely need to watch it, Jay. Watch it.
I still probably might. There's a handful of movies I hope to get to this summer that have just kind of passed me by. That, as we talked about off-air, Black Phone,
yeah.
Especially because Black Phone 2 kind of looks like it might be Christmassy.
I'm crossing my fingers.
And then what was...
Plus it has the Ethan Hawke in it, Jay.
I want to... You know, every... People don't talk enough about the fact... I'm going to do the joke again. People don't talk enough about the fact that he is only able to be a human during the day and his wife is only be able to be a human during the night. And otherwise they're hawks or something.
Yes, it's true. Lady Ethan Hawke. Yeah. I've heard that story before.
God. I say that to my wife every time she brings up Ethan Hawke. You'd think she'd be sick of it by now, but I'm sure she's not.
Oh, no. I'm sure she loves it, Jay.
But no, and then the other one... because it looks like weapons might be related to Barbarian.
I think so.
Like there might be some connection, and Barbarian was one that I just never got around to seeing. So like those are three that like I'm kind of looking at, hopefully catching this summer, just on my own time, not during Fatboy summer, just more during.
Oh, we could do
regular summer.
I was gonna say if you wanted to do Talk to Me for the third Fatboy summer movie, we could.
All right, we'll talk about it off air. We'll figure it out. But. Because I thought there was maybe another one we were talking about doing. Anyway, who fucking gives a shit?
Nah, fuck it.
if you wanna get in touch with us, talk to Jeff about BC-14 movies.
Don't worry. I'm working on an expanded lore timeline for the gods. So that'll be coming at some point.
Talk about garbage days, whatever that may be. Talk about Fat Boy Summer. Get in touch with us. Send us an email, horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com. Get in touch with us on social media. We are at @horror4holidays. That's horror4holidays.
YouTube.com/horrorfortheholidays. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell. Leave us comments. Tell me your timeline for the BC14 cinematic universe, because I don't think anyone actually knows or cares what the official timeline is. But, you know, give it to me. Let me know.
And I mean, if you're BC14, give us a rating on your podcatcher of choice. 1 star. These guys don't know anything about cinema.
No. And one of them claims to be a movie guru.
One of them does. But otherwise, if you're a listener, if you're a real sicko, if you're one of those perverts that listens to stocking stuffers, yes, give us a review on your podcatcher choice. 5 stars, 0 stars if I could.
Yes.
We just got done calling all of you guys sickos on our mainline episode. But if you listen to Stocking Stuffer, we know you're a real pervert. Yeah,
you're a real fucking sicko if you're listening to this.
No, seriously, though, we love all of you. The next movie we're doing for our June 23rd episode is going to be a little movie that we like to call A Creature Was Stirring. Not to be confused with All the Creatures Were Stirring.
Thank God, Jay. I thought all of them were going to be stirring, but it's just one.
No, it's just one. I believe it's on Shudder.
Oh, thank God.
So, fire up your old Shudder account.
I won't have to watch a mirrored version on Daily Motion, Jay.
Yeah, with exactly. Anyway, we'll see you next week for A Creature Was Stirring. Thanks for listening.
Sickos.
Bye.